talking about bugs, I saw this little girl the other day. She had a really cute shirt on. It said, "Adventure is outside, and so are bugs." I don't think she's a fan of bugs.
I don't think so.
How come? That's right. They like our grilled cheese sandwiches. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I am so glad everybody's here and that your parents were pro-life. Hallelujah. So we celebrate everybody here. Amen. And those are the two things that really... That, you know, when God, the Holy Spirit, are people that aren't born again, lost people, and then also, you know, the subject too as well. But we serve such a loving God, amen, and I'm telling you right now that there are so many good things ahead.
Yes.
It doesn't look like it, but I believe that we're seeing the death rattle of the enemy.
Yeah.
And... He is a manipulator, and that's why people watch the news and they see the manipulation, right? And I'm a student of finance, so obviously, you know, just a lot of these things that I'm spent a lot of time studying over the years, several hours, and continue to study these things. And I'm going to just say this, when you're looking at finance, it's not what you think, guys. I'm telling you right now. You're told it's a certain system, but it's changing. I'll just leave it at that. It's changing. It's changing. I'm telling you that right now. But I believe God is going to open up the blessings for us because of abortion is now gone.
Yeah, right.
And what's going to do is it curses off of us, and it's going to allow good things to come upon us.
Right.
And you're thinking, oh, what are you talking about, Pastor? Very spiritual, all right? I'm telling you, there's spiritual dynamics here. You know, too many people think that, you know, economics is just, you know, well... You have a company and you have a CEO and you keep your equity prices high and your stock prices high and this and that, and we're gonna sell out bonds and we're gonna get debt here, and we're gonna have finance this and blah 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 and blah blah blah. God is the one that brings prosperity, okay? And he's the one that can give you the power to get wealth, the Bible says, right? Let me just say something. What we're experiencing now is the remnant of righteousness decades ago. That's the only reason why. And we have some righteous people in this nation. But it's going to increase.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now. Like I said before, Roe versus Wade will, I've said it before and said it again, it was going to fall. I knew it was going to happen, right? Not because of I'm listening to other people or anything else. The Holy Spirit told me this decades ago. And he said to pray. He's like, I'm going to take care of it. Our financial system is going to be rocked very soon. And it's not because I'm listening to a bunch of people and everything. It's because of the Holy Ghost on the inside.
Right.
He's showing me things to come. And I know what's going to happen, okay? I know what's going to happen because I've prayed things out, and I know. I'm telling you right now, things are drastically changing. They are drastically changing.
Right.
Now, I'm saying they've already changed, but we just haven't seen it manifest yet,
right.
Okay?
Right.
Okay? Oh, but I'm excited for it, but they're good things. But the world thinks everything's coming to an end, and it's not. But we're talking about speaking in tongues, and we're talking about tonight about connecting with the Holy Spirit, and that's a key.
Yeah.
Let me just say something. Brother Hagin said, he said this. He said, White Tongues books?
I forgot to say, there's a whole bunch of White Tongues mini books back there, so you know, anything back there, grab it and take it free, give it away, keep it yourself, whatever. I forgot to say that earlier.
Linda had some great books, too.
Yes, Linda's extra books are back there.
Yes, so we're going to get you loaded up, all right? We're going to get you all loaded up. Anyway, Brother Hagin made a statement. I think it's in the White Tongues little thing too. But he said the gateway to the supernatural is praying in tongues.
Yeah.
But let me say this. Tongues and the Holy Spirit are not the same.
Mm-hmm.
See, too many people make it synonymous. Well, tongues. No, tongues are a byproduct of the Holy Spirit. It means when the Holy Spirit shows up, that's one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. We don't call the Holy Spirit tongues.
No, right?
Right? He's a person.
Yes. Right.
Hello? You know? It's kind of like Amy's, you know, likes to cook. We say, hello, cook. No, that's something that's an attribute of her that she's really good at. Right? Okay? And so, you know, that doesn't define her, but it's just something she enjoys doing. You know, or Brian, he's a dentist. Well, hello, dentist. Well, that's what he does, but that's not necessarily who he is. Hello? He's a person. And we can go through this whole room and define people. But again, the Holy Spirit, he's a person. And when he shows up, there's certain attributes that are present, right? One of them is tongues, okay? We see there the nine gifts of the Spirit. Those are the things that are manifest, excuse me, when he shows up. Well, some of the other things that are showing up, we're going to see here. I don't know how far we're going to get tonight because I've really overstuffed the turkey. But that means I got a lot of information. Okay, that's what my overstuffed the turkey is. Okay. But the point is Jesus told us in John 14 that he sent a comforter. And along with that, there's other things. And as part of that, he's going to show us things to come. The Bible said that in John. Hello? He's going to show us things to come. So, you know, when I'm watching TV, okay, can I just explain something to you? It's not that I'm this some great super spiritual person. It just means I pray and I listen to the Holy Ghost and I get an inkling. I get the witness on the inside. You know, you're watching something. I can watch TV and I'll go, that ain't right. They just know on the inside. Because you just spend time praying with the Holy Ghost and you're like, that's not true. Right? Like all these things that happen in the news. It's like, well, this happened and this happened and this happened. And when I listen to it, I get this green or red light on the inside. It's like, that's not true. And I just know it. I don't know why. And then I find out later it's not true. It's like the news just made it up or they fabricated or it's a false flag or something. And then I find out later, yeah, well, there's things they didn't talk about. And then later come out in the news. See, you got to rely on the inside because the Holy Spirit will reveal things to you. And so, but why do we need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? And that's why the world, the only way they can filter and process anything is through their two eyes, their ears, through this natural realm. And the Holy Spirit, again, when we pray in tongues, it's our spirit that prays. Well, it's hard for people to understand. They just don't get it. And, let's look at, let's go to, where do we start? Where do I start? Let's go to, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. You know what? Anytime we get into the Word and there are things in the Word, especially when I was young in the Lord, or Nader and I, after we got married, I came back to the Lord. And honestly, the reason why I kind of separated from God was because of the fact that, you know, like Kate was experiencing a lot of ignorance, right? I thought God, I just couldn't connect with God. I, you know, wanted more of God when I was younger. I just didn't understand things. And again, like I mentioned earlier, we were like a Baptist church that spoke in tongues. We just kind of didn't have an understanding. And again, I don't have any guess. It's just, I'm just trying to describe it. That's all I'm trying to do. And not that I'm, you know, this group's bad or this, but that's what it was. We really were more, it seems like, really kind of straight line, almost Baptist-y, but then a little bit of spirit thrown in there. I don't know, it's just kind of a hodgepodge of different things, if you kind of follow me. But I was always hungry for those things, and when I was about 12 years old, 13 years old, I went up to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I had a vision of the Lord and all these other things. It was like I had a supernatural visitation. It was very, very dramatic and a very, I had all these things the Lord spoke to me and the Holy Spirit came upon me at that time because I was receiving the Holy Spirit. I didn't pray in tongues, right? But the Holy Spirit was coming upon me, but I didn't release my prayer language. Well, and that kind of just dropped after that, right? I just didn't experience anything else. Fast forward, you know, I was 23, got married. It was December of 96. And I was listening to, let me just back up here too. Maybe my grandparents went to our church too. And my grandfather's name was Eugene. and my grandmother was Betty. And so they went to the Assembly of God Church too. And I remember as a teenager, or probably 19, or not, wasn't, probably preteens, you know, maybe 10, 11, listening. And the preacher said, well, you know, Gene, they called him Gene. Gene has been, you know, trying to receive the Holy Spirit for 20 years, and he hasn't been able to do it yet. And I'm thinking, how long am I going to have to wait? It's going to take him 20 years to get it, right? And it just really put this doubt in my heart, you know? It just really kind of, I felt really deflated. Like, what is it? So that frustrated, that statement, and sometimes, guys, we got to be really careful about what we say and how we say things, because we can instill fear and doubt into people and not even realize it. And that's why I'm so careful. Sometimes I want to be sure the way I say things that it doesn't, I don't bring that across, okay? And so it just really deflated me, and I, you know, I thought, oh my goodness. What? So that set in my mindset that it's got to be some hard thing. It's got to be a long process and hard. I didn't understand it. Well, again, now fast forward to 1996. We were married, just got married, and it was December. We'd kind of listened to baptism, Holy Spirit teachings for several, you know, several weeks there. And so our pastor, we met at his house. We had a Sunday night Bible study. And so he's kind of teaching on these things. And Adrian, I believe, already received it.
In the car.
In the car, by our own, okay? So again, don't have to have this big fancy setup. Ooh la la. And she just believed and received it. And it was probably too easy. I think you second guessed yourself, right? Like
I
did I really
taught or had experiences like
right.
this? So I just believed it.
Yeah. So we're sitting in his living room, and we're having this thing, and I told her on the way over, I says, I'm gonna get it tonight. Well, that's faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? I'm gonna have it tonight. And sure enough, at the end of it, he said, well, I'm going to walk around. So Adrian and I were sitting, he had his living room. We had two rows of chairs. And it's funny because when the Holy Spirit does things, he brands you. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that? Like, you just remember where you're at.
Yeah.
You know, don't ask me what I was wearing. It was probably some 90s, late 80s thing going on. I have no idea. I'm not a fashion consultant. But anyway, my hair is longer. A little longer, I'll tell you that right now. But no, I just cut it back then. So and then it came back and grew back. Anyway. But as I was sitting there, I knew he started laying hands on people in front of us, and we were in the second row, and then boom, I just took off.
Yep.
Bam, I just started praying in tongues right there. Because I'm getting it tonight.
Yep.
Why? Because my expectation. Yep. You know, Holy Ghost, God will meet you at your expectation.
Yes.
That's faith, meeting you at your expectation. Mm-hmm. And I saw this sign, and my neighbor has it, and it's not anything, but it said this. And you've all seen it, and you know who it is, and I'm not going to just take it for what it is. But the sign said, this house is filled with hope. And I'm thinking,
yep.
So we're just going to stop there, right? It just hit me the other day. I read it, I thought, hope is the want to, but nothing finalizes. Hope is always like, somebody's going to help me, right? I'm hoping for it. Now, we need hope, but hope is the front end, but we got to have the back end. We got to have it finished up with faith, right? And I saw that, and I thought, even though that feels, see, religion makes you feel good, right? It never gives you any answers, and there's no results. There's no final, there's no end game to anything. It's just, I got hope. I need faith too, right? Because faith closes the deal. It says, I've got it. Well, the problem is my grandpa, there was always hope. I'm going to get it someday. I'm going to get it someday. Well, no, someday never comes, right? Tomorrow never shows up. We live in the today. We live in the now. Now, that sounds a little bit like, you know. But it all comes back to, we've got to have faith. And faith says, I've got it now. And receiving the Holy Spirit is not that hard. Like I tell people, it is just like receiving salvation. First of all, you got to ask for it. If you don't ask, you don't receive. Just like, you know, I mean, we go to other churches around here that believe, you know, the salvation message, and you walk up to people and go, are you born again? Well, yeah. You want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I don't know. Everything through the kingdom is accessed through what? Hope? No. Faith. Not hope. We got to have hope as a desire, right? I tell all people all the time, I don't have any hope for a GMC Gremlin. Okay, it's just never going to happen, all right, or an old Gremlin. It's just never going to happen. Working with a client, we have these path to verify people and everything, and he's, what was your first car? And he says, a Gremlin. He goes, I know. You know, most of the time it's like, you know, especially the guys or something, they're older than a Camaro or, you know, whatever, and or Firebird or whatever. He's like, it was a Gremlin. He goes, I know. And some people think they're cool. So if you think they're cool, how about it? Praise God. You just go get a Gremlin and just make your little happy heart full. If you want to drive a Gremlin. But my hope isn't there. Okay? I'm not looking for one. And you know what? I'm never going to have one. Okay? And if you buy me one as a gift, I'll accidentally lose it. All right? Somebody will offer me. Yeah. Somebody will offer me a free steak dinner. And I'm kidding. It's like, okay, where are you going with this, Pastor Britt? My point is we got to have faith. If you're not desiring it, you're not, like people, they're not receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they don't want it. There's no hope there. There's no desire for it. Why? Because they don't see value in the Holy Spirit. They don't see value in it. And I think that's where we're not seeing things. Again, so I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I became baptized in the Holy Spirit, my spiritual eyes began to enlighten. I read the word, things became supernaturally. I before I'd read it and like, oh, it was just a labor to read the word. But when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something happened to me. It just switched on. Brother Hagin said, again, it's baptism of the Holy Spirit is the gateway to the supernatural. Okay? It is the thing. When I became baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had encounters with demons and angels and other things, and there were supernatural things beginning to happen in my life, right? Now, because I had these things manifest, you know, I've had things before where I have, while I'm preaching or while I'm, you know, while I'm preaching or whether I'm, you know, sometimes during praise and worship, I've had praise and worship where I've seen this, not this place, but the other place, we had about six angels, you know, all around. And so I've seen them before manifest in the service. I have had other experiences where, you know, somebody's prayed for me. We've had special guests and I wake up and I hear two occasions I've had, you know, where like my eyes are open and I see in the spirit realm, like I see you, and there's two angels above me. It looks like they're like they're doing surgery. They're taking things out and they're talking about me like I can't hear them. Like they don't realize that, oh, the gift of, manifestation of, you know, the spirit realm is in operation, but they're talking and I can hear them talking. I hear a conversation like you and I are talking, you know, like I would talk with you, and they're talking. And then probably 6-8 months later, we had another meeting. And I was out, and when I woke up again, they're coming back again, and they're talking. Weren't we here just working on him? Like, they're talking about me, which is kind of weird, the people talking about you, right? So you begin to have experiences like this, right? Or you'll have things on the inside that just you don't understand, but the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about things. And so those are the things where the Holy Spirit is beginning his ministry. Jesus talks about that in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. These are things that open up, right? Again, when I laid hands on people, I've seen more people healed. I never really did it before, but after I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I pray for people. We see people get healed. We see things happening. Now, it doesn't mean that I couldn't lay hands on people before and see them healed, but things are magnified with the Holy Spirit, right? Because, well, frankly, you're just more open. When you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're open. First of all, you've received the Holy Spirit, so you want it. And then you want the manifestations. So, you know, some people, they're not, I'm not into those things. Let me tell you something. Whatever God has for you, you'll be good with it. Yeah. Even it seems jarring. At times, you're like, whoa. I've had just several instances, and people, you know, they'll laugh or something. I'm like, you're not me. You haven't experienced what I have. I'm still going to love you. Move on. You know, but the baptism of the Holy Spirit is very powerful. And so And that's why the Apostle Paul says there in 1 Corinthians, I pray in tongues more than you all, because there's something powerful about it. And, you know, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. This is a communication device unto God. Well, you know, those people, they speak in tongues, that's of the devil. And there is nowhere in the Bible where anybody who's possessed with the devil that spoke in tongues, right? Every time we've read last week, if we get there again, wherever we go, that people were glad. There were amazing things that happened. God showed up and things happened, right? And so I don't think that anything that comes from the Holy Spirit is bad. For no man understands him, how being the Spirit, he speaks what? Mysteries. Do you know what you're, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Who does? God, right? So do you think maybe if there's something tomorrow that is going to happen that you need help with or something going on, guess who knows that? God. You can pray out mysteries for that, right? See, when you pray, that's why the devil hates it so much, because when you pray in tongues, you're not only doing that, you're commissioning angels. There's things in the spirit realm going that are just going off when you're praying in the spirit. You're praying mysteries unto God. You're praying out things. You know, let me just say this. We used to have, when I was a kid, a Sunday night at our church when I was a kid, when I was talking about. We would have Sunday night, like kind of like sometimes like a after service. And that was, you know, we would have a prayer time. And you go up to the altar, everybody pray. Well, I'd go pray. You know, you're doing this trick. You're like looking around, see who else is, you know, anybody else left or something, you know. And, you know, you could, well, I'm going to be real spiritual. I'm going to be the last one to get out, right. You know. And it was, and by the time you get in praying for Grandpa and Grandma and Fluffy the cat, and, you know, you're out of things and you're like, because your mind is limited on things, right? I mean, you can pray things and we can pray the word, which is powerful. We can pray the like Ephesians prayers and different prayers throughout the Bible, but there's just a time where your mind is going to shut off. You just don't know what else to pray, right? Because you don't know that car accident that may happen down the road. Ada and I were in a, she had a little yellow Festiva, okay? I drove it to work when I worked at Vermeer. My buddies I worked with called it the pregnant roller skate. So we drove that. We were in a tumble driving back home to Oskaloosa, and we got to the, I used to work at a cemetery there outside of town. We got up over this hill, over this bridge, and on the inside, the Holy Spirit, I stopped. It was just, ugh. And the Holy Spirit said, told me, pray in tongues. So I prayed in the Spirit, and all of a sudden I heard these words say, slow down. So I slowed down. Well, anyway, as I slowed down, this guy jumped the medium, went right in front of us. So if I would have gone, he would have hit us, okay? And there's not a lot of protection in those cars. Great on gas, but not a lot of protection. Went in the ditch, and he was completely drunk. Well, he would have hit us. You know, and the religious folks would have said, well, you know, it was their time to go. God called him home. You know, the Holy Spirit told me to stop, told me to slow down. If I wouldn't have slowed down, we would have been probably hit. And this is on a highway. So we're going like this. Went over the medium and right in front of us and almost hit us. Well, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to show you things like that. And we dismiss things too much and think that that's just me. That's just pizza from the night before. Blah, 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 blah. You know what? God is doing things. And he's trying to... God cares about us and he wants good things for us. And so, you know, I don't believe I would have had that experience if I hadn't been taught about the Holy Spirit and about the value of praying in tongues, right? Because we're praying out mysteries. I had no idea that a mile up the road, a drunk driver is coming at me. No idea, but God does, right? And he knew that he was going to jump that right at the same time we were going to be there. I mean, the Holy Spirit, he's there. Like we see, and we're going to see in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, he is to lead us and guide us in all the truth. He's going to show us things and what bring things back to remembrance. So when we put the word in our heart, he's going to bring the word back to us. Mm-hmm. You know, Brother Hagin, you know, I was talking with one time with Gary Crowell, and he was been here, preached before, but he was former dean of Rhema. And anyway, he said, I remember him saying one time that he's like never memorized scripture; he just put it in here, and Spirit brings it back out. You know, and there'll be times too, I'll just be talking and I'll just have scripture coming out and it'll just be coming out of me. Why? Because when I put it in there, the Holy Spirit, he's like a little, if you put it in there, you know, it's like a little library and the Holy Ghost, okay, here's what I want you to show. You know, bring it up to my remembrance. Okay. Yeah. Like a little library. That's why it's good to spend time in the Word, because when you're putting it in you, then the Holy Spirit has something to bring back to you.
Yeah.
So he's gonna show you things to come. Am I boring you tonight?
No.
Is this okay? Because I got more stories. I got a lot more stories, but we're going to keep going. Maybe someone will come out. And then we see there in 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. So your head is not engaged. Your head is not engaged. In fact, I've done scientific studies. I've done some research on this too. And don't quote me on this, because I know it's out there. But the point is, there's a part of your brain when you're speaking that's engaged, but then when you pray in tongues, that area of the brain is shut off.
Mm-hmm.
There's no brain waves there. It's just, it's gone. I mean, so what it means is this, the part of the brain that is used for language is disengaged when you're praying in the Spirit. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. You can find that on YouTube.
Yeah, it'll be on there. There's a scientific study, but the point is this, it literally is, I'm going to just say this, everything in the Word is true. And you know, I believe, you know, scientists, I believe in science because, you know, they're happy to support whoever's writing the checks. But I saw this thing, it was really funny. And I'm in school too now on the side, but one of the things that I remember somebody said something about, well, the science is settled. And I thought, science is never settled. You know? Well, like in school, and like I said, I'm in school now, everything is about arguing against or for or trying to disprove or prove something. Nothing is settled. Science is a continuous process. That's the whole point of science, is it's continuous research and pushing the envelope. Nothing is settled. Let me just say this. When people say those things on TV and everything, they're saying things like, well, the science is settled. It's a manipulative language to get you to shut up. That's it.
Yeah.
Because guess what? I can say, I don't believe that. And have other proof, right? And I'm not against science, but it's the whole point is, that's the point of science.
Right?
I mean, the realm that I'm in, it's finance. All we're doing, I'm arguing with professors, disagreeing, agreeing with. I mean, how long have people been trading and exchanging money? Forever, and we're still debating it, right? Because that's the whole point of education. Nothing's settled. Everything is still debatable. Even the Word, even though it's settled, we're still debating it. We're still discovering new things about the Word. Now it never changes. It's canonized. It won't change, but we're still understanding and learning new things about it. So when people say, well, the science is settled, no, you're lazy, or you're trying to manipulate people, right? We need people that can think. I'm telling you the truth. You know, we have people that just say, well, you're a preacher, you're just you people are just, you know, in your religion and only this and only that. No. Be a thinker in every area of your life. Hello? Don't just always take, even my word, don't take somebody's word for granted all the time. Always go back and say, right? If it's the Word, it's the Word, right? If it's right out in the Word, it's like, Lord, I'm not going to argue against your Word. Now, I know that there are things I'm seeing more in the Word, and we're discovering more things all the time. I'm learning things all the time. Hopefully you are too, where it's always continuing learning. But think for yourself, right? Because that's what the Holy Spirit, when you have the Holy Spirit, it says he'd be our teacher. Now, it doesn't mean that we, you know, do with apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, according to Ephesians 4:11, because those are gifts from Jesus, okay? I'm a gift from Jesus. Now, again, it doesn't mean that. It just means God put something in me, right? To help people. Not because I'm so great or anything. It's just there's something in me. I'm motivated to help people. That's it. All right? There's something God has put a motivation in me to help teach people and to help them with their walk with God. But guess what? Who's going to teach you? The Holy Spirit, right? I'm here to help you and be a rah-rah teacher and to say, hey, I'm here to help you. But guess what? When you stand before Jesus, I'm not going to stand for you. You're going to stand before Jesus yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm very big into personal responsibility. Hello? I'm here to help you along the way, but guess what? We've seen over the years that people don't want to be a part of it. Great. Do your thing. People are going to get on and off the bus. Hopefully more people get on the bus. But again, you know, I'm here to help you and say, I mean, you're going to answer for Jesus for yourself, right? I'm not going to be there on Judgment Day to, you know, but you got to do this yourself. And so, which is a far cry from the world system, right? It's everybody else's fault. You know, you're going to do this for me. This is the reason why I'm failing, blah, blah, blah. No. And that's what God does. He gives personal responsibility, right? And we think about, Jonah. No, God was like, you're going to do it, right? Or Noah. No, you're going to do it. But, no, you're going to do it. So, Mark chapter 16. I'm going to kind of paraphrase some of these things, can move forward. One of the things is about speaking in tongues. These are the things that the commission, go preach the gospel, drink any deadly thing, won't hurt you. Again, if you accidentally do something, you're not out drinking Drano or eating Tide Pods or any weird stuff like these crazy people out here, right? Let's not be stupid, okay? If something happens, you know, you accidentally get bit by a snake or something, God's going to come. We believe that. I mean, we say Apostle Paul, he was, you know, got bitten by a snake, shook it off, lived, was a testimony, all right? Acts chapter 2, verse 1, I think this is very important. I haven't even got to the 10. We're just not even going to get anywhere close there. That's okay. Because sometimes I think it's very important for us to talk about practicality of speaking in tongues. We read the word, but we need to also put things into practical, into application. And say, all right, let's just, you know, see where it's worked in our lives. So, Acts chapter 2, let me read it here. What version do you have, Adrian? Translation of the Passion? Would you read it, Acts 2, 1 through 4? Except in the King James, might be kind of neat to read something else.
Yeah. Okay, on the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. It separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. And they were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned.
Wow. So that's the initial, what we call the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, all right? Jesus told the disciples there in Acts 1:8, stay in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere else, wait for the Holy Spirit, he said, there's a gift, right? And because it's very important, because again, they were ready to just go. They're like, "Hey, we're out of here. We're gonna go, proclaim this message." He's like, "That's great, but just wait, just hold off. I got something special for you." And so many people argue and say, "Well," and you just read the Bible and you see this is complete. They'll say, "Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was only for the on the day of Pentecost." Well, I hate to wreck your playhouse, but we just talked about last week. No. Not even close. Look at First Corinthians 14:18. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Just stay in Acts there. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Now, this account is 10 years after the day of Pentecost, all right? So we just see in the book of Acts, there's times where this happened multiple years after the day of Pentecost. So one argument is, well, you know, it's just the day of Pentecost. That's not true, because guess what? Even though we'd like to think of it, I said this last week, when we'd like to think about the Acts, just it's just when we read it, just happened. You realize when we read the Gospels, that's 3.5 years of Christ's life. Right, we see, oh, he went here, and he went here, and he went here, and we just think it all happened within like a month. No, it's a 3.5 year span, over 3 years, that all of this unfolded, right? That Jesus' ministry happened. So again, Acts is several years in the making. The Apostle Paul's journey was 3 years. So you think about it. I mean, when he looks back and he wrote his, he wrote many of the epistles there, to some of these people, he wrote it and then he came back, and sometimes he wasn't back until 3 years later. So again, these are years of, we read this stuff, it's years unfolding of development. The apostles beginning to have revelation that yes, the Gentiles can be saved. Yes, the Gentiles can receive the Holy Spirit. Yes, it's the whole Bible is a gradual revelation of God. He is revealing himself over time. We just look at it and we got the whole thing. We can look back and go, wow, that's really cool. Where, again, we see in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 that they endured, what's to say, even though they didn't see the promise. Because they were in the middle of God still continuing to reveal himself and his word. They only got a glimpse of it. We see the whole thing, well, up to this point. Right? I mean, Revelation and the book of Daniel and right, all these other ones. I mean, it's still playing out. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we're just still, I mean, you read Revelation generally. Blah, 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 blah. I mean, you take a casual read of that thing and, you know, you're like, whoa. If you haven't, you know, spent a lot of time studying it, you're like, whoa, four horsemen, wow, you know, the dragon, you know, the Or Babel, I mean, it's just all these other things. You're just like, whoa. Why? Because we're kind of like them in this state right now. We don't know what's going to happen. We have promises, but we haven't really seen it played out. We're here. We can look back and see how it has played out, but we still have a portion of this word we haven't seen yet. And we're going to see it, though, at some point. It's exciting. It's great stuff. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, and then we can look at one of two things. We can say, okay, this is scary, because a lot of people look at it as a revelation, as scary, and it can be, but it's great for us, because we're just that much closer to home, yeah, of heaven, right? I never look at things like, oh, you know, I just look at things like, I'm one step closer to being with Jesus, right? Now, I'm not going tonight, all right, but I'm saying, when I'm ready to check out, me and the Lord are ready, it's going to be great. I don't fear death at all, right? Because I'm just stepping over. Like Brother Hagin said, he's like, it's basically like taking your foot out of a shoe. You know, you just slip over into something else. So it doesn't have to be a terrible experience. And, you know, we look at, you know, the like Joseph and the old patriarchs in the Word. It's like in Abraham, they just gathered the family up and they stepped over on the other side, you know? And, you know, we don't have to fear death. We have a hope, the Bible says. We have hope, and we know where we're going. So not everybody has that. I'm all over the place tonight. That's okay. Acts 10, 34, and it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Amen. Right? We can all get this thing. What's he mainly saying is like, oh, okay. Well, he's not a respecter of the Jews or the Hebrews. That, oh, I see that he's not a respecter person. So the Gentiles can now receive this. So thank God for that. Because I think probably most all of us here are probably Gentiles. And then verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Mm-hmm. That sounds different than being born again, doesn't it? Yeah. And they of the circumcision would believe believed were astonished, and as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we know that it's for everybody. Not just Jew, but for the Gentile also. And for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, let me just say this. If this was of the devil, I'm telling you what, they're not going to be magnifying God.
That's right.
Right? Hello? See, again, when they speak in tongues, they're always praising God. There's always amazing things coming. Right? People are getting delivered. There's joy. There's peace. You know, when the devil shows up, there's no joy. There's no peace. That's not a manifestation. Read Galatians chapter 5, I talked about last week. Galatians chapter 5, works of the flesh. It's not pretty, okay? Go read the curses in Deuteronomy 2. It's really bad. And some of it's pretty gross to read too, right? Talking about bodily stuff and fluids and junk. And we're like, okay. But the Bible's really graphic. God gets his point across. It's like, you have spoken. I have got the message, Lord. Thank you. I don't want to go down that road. So again, now this experience again was 10 years after the day of Pentecost, right? So it was not just on the day of Pentecost, but it was 10 years after. 10 years after. I used to be in a band with a guy that toured with 10 years after, with the Woodstock. So just a side note. So, and we were all heathens, and I've been delivered in the name of Jesus. But I worked with a guy, and he's like, dude, you know a 10 years after song? I'm like, no, I don't. I'm not. But 10 years after. All right. So this experience was 10 years after the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So we know that it was did not just happen on the day of Pentecost at all. And then we see Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. This is 20 years after the day of Pentecost. Oh my goodness, it's still going on. This is incredible. God's still pouring in his Spirit on people, and people are still getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. How is this possible? God's like, I'm sneaky, and I do those kind of things. God's still doing those things. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6 says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul was having passed through the upper coasts, and he came to Ephesus, so he's doing his, you know, on his missionary journeys there, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much heard whether there would be a Holy Ghost. Verse 3, and he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said unto John the Baptist. Okay, so you got to read, I'm going to stop here really quick. In the Bible, we think sometimes we hear people say, have you been baptized? There are multiple baptisms, all right? There's not just one. We think of baptist, I mean, meaning, you know, being baptized, we just think dunking in water, okay? But there's multiple baptisms in the word, all right? Not just one. They were talking about baptism under John. That's what Jesus experienced in John. Well, we just read here. It'll tell you here in a minute. And then Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. So he's talking about John's ministry, repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So one of the baptisms is about John the Baptist preparing those people for Jesus to come, baptizing them into repentance. What is he saying? He's just basically baptizing them, getting their hearts ready for Jesus, preparing the way for Jesus. And then in verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, wait, there's another baptism right there. What's that? Baptized into the body of Christ. That is being born again. It's another baptism, right? So we're seeing, and then let's go on here. It says, when Paul laid their hands on him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they what? Spoke with tongues and prophesied. So there's three different experiences here. Number one, there's the baptism of John that they're talking about, right? And they were clinging on to that. 20 years later, they had not even heard about Jesus yet or heard about being born again. Then we see there that Paul talks about in verse 5, the baptism, being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's being born again. And then we see in verse 6, the laying on of hands, which is a completely separate experience. Laying on of hands of the Holy Ghost, what? Came on them. Let me know when you're born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we're a new creation, right? Where's your new creation? On the outside? You know, when I got rededicated myself, I still looked the same ugly critter in the mirror, right? I was still, you know, I didn't change. No, my inside changed, right? So my spirit man was different. I was brand new on the inside. That's being born again. My nature changed on the inside. He's talking about verse 6, the Holy Spirit come upon him. So again, multiple experiences. They're not the same experience at all. And like I said last week, 4 out of the 5 experiences that are mentioned in Acts, we read there, they all, 4 out of the 5, they spoke with tongues immediately when the Holy Spirit was present. Now, the only one that didn't was the Apostle Paul. But we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says that he says, I speak in tongues more than you all. So he did at some point, right? And it's probably to say that he did it at that point, because that's the pattern of the book of Acts, right? When the Holy Spirit came, they instantly had it. They instantly prayed in tongues. It's a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. So we know that the Apostle Paul did. So other than that one time, every other time we see, they did it immediately. Let's look at Acts chapter 8 also, because this is 8 years after the Pentecost. So I'm kind of bouncing around. I went 10, 20, and then we're going back to Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Acts 8, verse 5. And I did mention this a little bit last week, but Philip was one of the 7 that was serving tables for the Grecians and the Hebrew widows. Remember that? In the book of Acts. And what happened was they were getting all grumpy. Well, they're getting more than me. They're getting more. So there was a dispute, and the apostles said, wait, we can't do this. We got to be in prayer and the word. We can't spend time doing this. So they appointed 7. We see that Philip and Stephen were one of them, right? There were 2 of those, all right? Stephen obviously had a standing invasion for Jesus in the book of Acts, which while he was being stoned, Saul, which later became Paul, was there holding the cloaks, and he experienced this dramatic experience there with Stephen. And I believe that was, the Bible just doesn't say things. I believe that impacted him for the rest of his life. So we go from Mr. Hank was just talking about ministry of help. Again, Stephen began with the ministry of help, ended up having a massive impact on Saul, which later became Paul, which wrote most of the New Testament, 2/3 of the New Testament. So again, there's just so many things going on. And what was Saul? What was Stephen? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was, it's because he said, full of the Holy Ghost was one, right? How do you mean full of the Holy Ghost? Praying in tongues, right? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. So one thing, it was full of the Holy Ghost and of good report. 2 things the book of Acts says about this. Anyway, so let's touch on this. Verse 5, then Philip went down to Samaria, city of Samaria, and preached Christ unto them. And verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Okay? Let me just say this. Philip was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Hello? He was, because he was 1 of the 7, and it said one of the criteria in the book of Acts was to be full of the Holy Ghost and a person of good report. That was Philip. So when he shows up here, he's already full of the Holy Ghost. He's got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And here we go, verse 8, and there was great joy in the city. So he's praying for people, he's getting people set free, and because it says what? He preached Christ unto them. Verse 13, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, here we go, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. What was he preaching? He was preaching salvation unto them, right? They received the baptism into the body of Christ. They got born again at that point. Verse 14, now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, had heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, wait a minute here. All of these miraculous things were happening. They got healed. They got set free. Everybody's happy, right? We just got all these happy people. Why in the world do we need to send the big guns in now, Peter and John? Didn't Philip do the job? Yes, he did. But they're saying, It's not enough. Can you say, it's not enough? It's not enough. If the apostles said, I mean, most people would rejoice and they'd you know, get on YouTube and look what we've done here, right? I mean, if you know, Philip had a YouTube channel, man, he'd be like, look at what I've done. Look at my ministry. Send me money. Blah, blah, blah. Look at me. This is great. How many followers do I have now? But what did he do? No, he said, I mean, not everybody would just camp on that. Oh, this is so great. This is so awesome. But Peter and John, they went down. Why? Because they felt like they needed more. Verse 15, and when they had come down and prayed for them that they might receive what? The Holy Ghost. So they got born again. Now they needed the Holy Spirit. The person that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And then we see in verse 16, for as yet he was fallen upon them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, they're talking about two different experiences, aren't they? Again. Holy Spirit falling upon them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they're saying, oh, they've only been born again. That's it. Well, that's important. That's very important. But they haven't got the Holy Spirit on them yet. Verse 17, laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. Here we go. And when Simon saw, this is a sorcerer trying to control people here, saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. Now people will sit here, verse 19, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now, people will say, well, you know, they didn't speak in tongues. Let me just say this. What did Simon see? Did he see the Holy Ghost? No, he did not see the Holy Ghost. We cannot see the Holy Ghost, right? But what Simon saw was the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He saw them praying in the Holy Ghost. He saw those things, the power coming upon them. What do we see there in the book of Acts, the first chapter? Jesus said, wait, and the power will come, right? Yeah. And then that'll make you what? Witnesses. So what happened was, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, obviously they were praying in tongues, but there was a power on them, an anointing to do things that they weren't happening before. So Philip came in, was delivering people, got him born again. Peter and John came and said, this isn't enough. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit come upon him. He said, you haven't had the Holy Spirit come upon you, in verse 16, but you've received Jesus. So we see this guy, Simon, was trying to buy this gift of the Holy Spirit, or the byproducts of the Holy Spirit, and you can't buy it, can you? So there was something with the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Simon wanted, and there was power involved. Let's end with John chapter 14, verse 16. We'll get into the reasons to speak in tongues next week. John 14, 16 and 17. John chapter 14, verse 16. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
All right. It's funny how people will tell me about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't believe in it. And they're supposed to be great Bible people, but they can't give me one scripture on speaking in tongues, right? Okay, what am I? Gonna leave me hanging here? I mean, just saying, I don't believe that. Throw me a bone here. Help me out. Right? Hello? I need something. You just can't say these things. Well, I don't believe this. Great. John chapter 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another, what? Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive it. Cannot receive it, but not it, but because it seeth him not, neither knows him not, but you know him, for he what dwells, here we go, with you and shall be what? In you. There's two different experiences, right?
Two different.
It's right there. I mean, hello, even the denominational folks will look at that. It's like, it's in the book of John. Oh, yeah. Right? We all agree on that. Do you believe John, the book of John was divinely written by the Holy Spirit? Oh, you betcha. Woohoo, book of John. The Gospels, yeah. So, the Holy Spirit is not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He is sent, and we see that one of the is a paraclete, or it means another one just like me. The Holy Ghost, anything Jesus would say, the Holy Ghost is going to say the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? So, the Holy Ghost is not some creepy, weird, scary thing. The Holy Ghost is wonderful. He's a person. He's part of the Godhead. That's why I have to hold my anger when there are people with that Holy Ghost stuff or that tongue stuff. It's a person. I wouldn't say that Jesus stuff as a Christian. Can you imagine that? Or that God stuff. I would never think about that. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because the world doesn't understand the Holy Spirit because they haven't received him. And again, for he shall dwell with you and shall be what? In you. There's two different experiences there. Right? The Holy Spirit's a person. I'll just close with this. I remember one time I was on praise and worship team at another church, and we had a Holy Spirit, or the song was Holy Spirit, and it said it in it. And you know, we were just singing it, you know. And then one guy in the church came up and said, do you realize you call him the Holy Spirit yet? And then we changed it. Yeah. And we changed it to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't come up to somebody and go, well, you know, I'm married to Adrian. Yeah, it lives with me. Right? It's just kind of weird, right? I mean, so we were kind of going, it's kind of weird, right? Yeah. And so we change it, it's just an honor thing. You think about that situation, it comes back to honor. And we just get into these religious mindsets sometimes, you know, that we think about. And Adrian, I've been thinking about too, like, well, maybe we should just go through our songs too, months ago, and like, you know, see the scriptural, you know, re-examining everything brings, you know, I want to bring some new songs in too, but just really looking, you know, through things, because the Holy Spirit is definitely a person, and we need to recognize the Holy Spirit as a person. I believe he's being ignored by most of the church, to tell you the truth, a lot. And, you know, most people just acknowledge the Holy Spirit as, you know, part of the Trinity, and then leave him there and don't. It's very, very important, the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Father, we just come before you. We thank you. Holy Ghost, thank you so much for your ministry. God, I thank you tonight. We praise you and thank you, Father, for what you're doing in this earth, in this nation, in this world. God, we thank you that your Spirit will be manifest. We thank you that everything that we do, everything that happens in this nation would bring glory to your name and honor to you, Jesus. The Lord, we declare tonight that, Jesus, that you are King over in America, that you are Lord and King over the earth. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you tonight, Lord, but we pray for this nation that you are continuing to turn things around. We glorify you. We thank you so much, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, your ministry and working in the earth, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen. And you know, tonight as we go, you know, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to, you know, nobody's making anybody do anything, because I don't believe in, you know, I'm not a manipulative kind of person to try to manipulate people into doing anything. Because you want to come to Jesus. If you know, you want to have the Holy Spirit. You should want to have the Holy Spirit, and like being born again. These are things that you should want to do, not somebody coercing you, you know. Like an old, I used to be, years ago as a kid, you'd sit and they'd take up offerings in church and things like that. And we'd have people, okay, who's gonna get, we need $100, who's gonna give $100? Who donate this, who donate this, who this? And it was like, I felt like it was an auction house, you know? Who's gonna get the Holy Spirit tonight? Who's gonna get born again? Come on, we're not gonna go until somebody. No. Oh, have anybody else been in that situation before in a church where they're like, we need to get $5,000 tonight. Who's gonna give 100? How many people give 500? How many people put 25? And you're like, we still have, you know, $2,500 we need. And you're like, really? Yeah, just weird stuff. So anyway, I'm not in that camp, okay? I'm just saying the Holy Ghost leads you to do whatever you need to do. And, you know, we thank everybody for what they, you know, they sow and give here. But we're not manipulating people like that. Weird. But anyway, you know, if you want to receive the Holy Spirit, we want to pray with you tonight, okay? Let me go off on that tangent. But the Holy Spirit is just so wonderful. If you've never received it, never done that, just let's pray. Amen. We can do that for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great week, everybody. Praise God.